up and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Doug Eddy, Tim Keller, and Tyler Gunther. Bring us all inside the huddle. Whether it's in season or off season, this is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. So let's not waste any more time and get right to it with Doug, Tim, and Tyler with another Dynasty Happy Hour.
Hey, welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour. It's Doug, we've got Tim, and we've got Tyler. The Triforce is back. And we have a special guest this week. He is the captain of the yacht club. He is the head possum himself. It's Christopher Harris. We're live on YouTube and Periscope. Chris, how the heck are you?
I'm very well. Thank you for asking me to do this. I'm really happy to be here talking to you guys.
Absolutely. We've got a really good show lined up. We're going to talk about some fantasy news. We've got our stats and stuff segment. We're going to go on over some underhyped, overhyped, or properly hyped in the Dynasty community. And then we've got a little Dynasty trade calculator game that Tyler's going to go over. But first, we got a word from our sponsor, and it's Dynasty Owner. Chris, I believe you're familiar with Dynasty Owner, correct?
Yeah, I am. They are a sponsor. I know those guys well, Paul and Tim, and I'm so psyched to play this year on Dynasty Owner. It's a cool format. Can I just say what it is? Do you guys have an official script you have to follow?
You go for it. And are you going to be in the podcast league, quote unquote?
I don't know. I mean, they set up one where 11 of my listeners are in a league with
nice.
Me.
Okay.
That's all I know at this point, but I'm open to anything, but it's cool because Dynasty Owner, it's a dynasty league, but the valuation under the salary cap is based on the actual player contracts. So yeah. Patrick Mahomes probably not nearly worth what Lamar Jackson is in that league because Jackson's still under
Cam Newton dirt cheap.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I'm saying. Like he's a bargain and a half. Yeah, that's one of the cool things that's unique about Dynasty Owners that you can do a little bit of everything. So the salaries, whatever they make in the NFL is what you got. So, you know, if you pick up a guy that's got a cheap salary, maybe it's a DeAndre Washington, you know, he's what's hot in the streets nowadays for Kansas City, and he's not making much. He's probably making veteran minimum. So obviously his stock goes up. But again, like Patrick Mahomes, where he's typically a first round pick, top five pick in a Superflex league. You may think twice about that because you only have so much salary cap to work with. So it's a very much a strategy-based game, which I like a lot. I do play in a lot of salary cap contract year leagues, and I find those to be a lot of fun. I believe La Liga Lebowski is formatted like that as well, right, Chris?
It is absolutely, yeah. This is sort of, you get to play real NFL GM on Dynasty Owner. Mm-hmm. Like, you're actually looking at what they make. And once you get into year two, year three, year four, and Lamar Jackson gets his big contract, then you're mm-hmm. like, and you have Lamar Jackson, you're going to be like, I'm going to have salary for that elsewhere. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so it's pretty fun. Cool. You can go on to dynastyowner.com /DHH. There's leagues that are forming now. And once again, that's dynastyowner.com /DHH. We've all been in a league where the winner just got lucky. If you're like me and you know better than most, Dynasty Owner gives you the platform to prove it. Dynasty Owner favors skilled players who can manage their roster using real NFL salaries, like we said, within the salary cap. Whole new level of strategy. So once again, dynastyowner.com /DHH. And when you start a league at Dynasty Owner or anywhere, you can upgrade the league today with a trophy at trophysmack.com. They've got trophies, belts, rings, and now there's actually draft boards for your upcoming draft. If you're doing an in-person socially distanced draft, you can still do that. You can use code DHHRING to get a free $60 ring with your purchase of a trophy. I'm going to be doing a socially distanced draft the first week of September. I believe that's my only in-person draft. So I'm glad that I still have that element in my fantasy football season because honestly, draft day in person is my favorite day. I don't even care who I draft. It's all about seeing friends. It's about eating pizza, drinking beer, and having a lot of fun. So I'm glad that I still get at least one league this year where I get
a lot
to do
of air fives happening this year.
lots of air fives. Yes. We should bring air horns. That would be fun. Well, probably not. So
you can get one at Trophy Smack.
It's true. That is very true. So we've got some fantasy news. I'm going to start with the biggest news. I'm flipping the show sheet on its face because the biggest news this week is all about Darius Geis. He was charged with domestic violence and the Washington football team cut him immediately.
Yep.
So obviously we're a dynasty show and Darius Geis, if you used a pick on him the same year that Saquon Barkley came out, which is now will be 3 years ago, he was the consensus 102 that year. Now we all know he tore his ACL against the Patriots in preseason and then got hurt the next year and he showed flashes. And I think a lot of people were really rooting for Darius Geis to have a comeback season. I know I drafted him as my RB4 in the Scott Fishbowl. And I was pumped for that because I saw like, hey, Darius Geis has this monster upside. So now Darius Geis is out of the picture. I believe he needed to be claimed by 4 o'clock today if a team did claim him. There was no news on that. So I don't know if it's just, you know, maybe a lapse. Don't know if any team actually claimed him or not, but that's regardless. I want to know, Chris, the Washington backfield, now you have 38.9 million-year-old Adrian Peterson, who is still kind of capable, I guess. But, you know, we're a dynasty show. So Adrian Peterson is an afterthought because of his age.
Sure.
But, you know, everyone is talking about Antonio Gibson. He was very popular in rookie drafts. A lot of people have given him the, oh, he could be David Johnson, or maybe he's CJ Procise. We don't know. Receiver turned running back. And they have J.D. McKissic. They have Peyton Barber, everybody's favorite boring running back from Tampa last year. So I want to know, are you kind of just avoiding this backfield altogether, or are you one of the guys that's kind of on this Gibson train, limited touches, but, you know, ton of upside and athleticism? Let me know what you think about Washington's backfield.
I mean, I wish I knew more about Antonio Gibson. We're all sort of speculating.
Sure.
He was, I'll tell you, I'll be completely honest with you. So first of all, I'll be completely honest and say, I consider myself kind of like a quasi NFL. Like I watch all the film, you know, like, so I have a pretty good sense of what these guys all look like. And I'm not really a college scout. So certainly watched highlights, but of Gibson at Memphis, and like everybody looks good in their highlights. And especially when they're, you know, when they're running against the future gym teachers of America. Like, he was fantastic as a hybrid, mostly wide receiver towards the end of the year running back, you know, good, except for it was like the younger version of me trying to tackle him. I don't know what exactly that means. Right. But Brett Coleman, you guys know, runs the Film Room YouTube channel. He's a regular guest on my show. Mm-hmm. And he came on 2 weeks ago, and this is before this guy stuff happened, and really raved and said, you know, I think he's the truth. I think there's a future where maybe he is David Johnson or some animal that we've never seen before in the NFL. And my, you know, my counter at that time was like, yeah, but what if he's Cordarrelle Patterson? Like, what if he's Ty Montgomery? You know, just one of the kind of jack of all trades, master of none kind of thing. And so Brett turned my head a little bit. I respect his opinion. And I had already raised Gibson up in my season ranks and my dynasty ranks for, you know, to get him ahead of Peterson in redraft. And then obviously already was ahead of Peterson in dynasty. And now with Geis out of the picture, I would hesitate to hit the accelerator on him too hard for a dynasty league that you were really, you know, looking ahead the next 1 through 4 through 5 years, because the situation won't always be so wide open as it is right now. Like, if it turns out he can't play, which none of us really know, fantastic athlete, freaky guy, but, you know, we've got plenty of history in the league of guys who came in with great athletic pedigrees and couldn't play, then that Washington's going to get someone else next year, and he's not going to have such a wide open field anymore. But yeah, I mean, if I'm doing a rookie startup right now, is he a first round pick? I think he's maybe at the turn, right? I think he deserves to kind of maybe be in that 10 through 14 range is probably fair. And maybe that's a little high, but I think, you know, you're also bottling, you know, I like to say when we talk dynasty, well, this year counts too, right? You don't mind winning this year. And you're packaging the possibility that he's the truth, that they want to use him like McCaffrey, that all of a sudden you've got a 200 touch player who could go for 1300 yards and 10 scores. And my God, like that's the kind of upside that Tua probably doesn't have in year one. So, like, obviously it's a huge, I'm sorry, I'm sort of filibustering, but it's a huge boost to him. And, you know, remember there's Bryce Love there as well. We just haven't seen him run in 2 years, and I don't know the state of his knee, but Gibson's the clear winner.
I think it's pretty wide open.
We'll go to his player profile, who I saw the other day. There was a surprising part to his player profiler. And I mean, he's 6 foot, 228. He's built like a workhorse back. He's got the size. I mean, he ran a 4.39 at the combine, which was a 98th percentile. His speed score is 122.8, which is a 99th percentile. And then you look at his best comparable, which isn't everything, but Joe Mixon is his best comparable. And if you have a running back that has that type of upside, I'm saying it's not going to be Joe Mixon.
Chris loves him, Joe Mixon. I know that for a fact.
I do love Joe Mixon.
He's yeah. got that upside to him, the pass catching upside. I mean, this guy had 77 touches in college and scored 12 times. Like he ran for over 10 yards a carry last right. season in Memphis. 33 carries over 300 yards. This guy is electric. He hasn't had many touches. So depending on how this Washington offensive line is and how it can kind of it can be stable, if that's the fact, and Dwayne Haskins can take a next step, why can't Antonio Gibson be an RB2 for your team this year? Like, why is that out of the realm of possibility?
I'll just answer the question with a question, which is how many like zone runs would he has to read a defense has he ever run in his life? And I would say it's probably close to zero. Mm-hmm. It's going to yeah. be tough to have him run the full playbook right away. But I think you guys are probably saying this and everybody's saying this. If you're just thinking about 2020, the rookies or the young players in general could be really different in week 6 or 7 if we get that far compared to what they are in week 1. I mean, he might yeah. get it right away. It's not brain surgery. Like he's, you know, it's a certain amount of feel and it's a certain amount of being able to sort of convert what you see to a cut that you can make. And he's got all the ability in the world. So
kind of like,
you know,
what we saw with Miles Sanders last year. Like he struggled at sure. first, like making, sure. you know, oh, yeah. not picking good running lanes. You're like, why did right. he go that direction?
Yeah.
He should have. And then he finally started to get to, I think, to the speed of the NFL and really feel comfortable.
Right. So no, you guys are making a really solid point about this year. And then, and it's funny, like for Dynasty, you go, it becomes all the much more feast or famine because like I said, if it hits, well, the field's wide open. It's him and whoever yeah. for the next 3 or 4 years. But if it doesn't hit, he's worthless because this situation that we're seeing that opened up unexpectedly all of a sudden closes. They'll get someone else next year.
Yep. Yep. And there's going to be a absolutely epic free agent running back class, most likely. Plus the draft is going to, I mean, we don't know what the draft is going to look like ultimately, but you know, with free agents, guys like Dalvin Cook, Aaron Jones, if they don't get re-signed, Mixon. Yeah. I mean, there's going to be a lot of guys out there. So yeah, one of those guys could go to Washington, and then Antonio Gibson was like, he was a cool thing for a little while. That's part of the fun in right. Dynasty is do you jump into that kind of, do you jump into that abyss or do you kind of stay away from it? So those are the fun decisions that you have to make, you know, when you're looking long-term. Redraft is a little bit more fun because you can jump into it and then, you know, you can course correct a little bit more. In Dynasty, it's a lot more difficult.
No love lost.
You don't marry them. You just date them.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. So we've got some reports out of Las Vegas that Bryan Edwards, another rookie, could start at the X receiver and Henry Ruggs will start in the slot, which I know all the Hunter Renfro fans were like, I really like Bryan Edwards' skill set. I actually think that he could be the alpha on that team. Yes. Not necessarily this year in his rookie year, but I think eventually. I think Edwards' stock really slipped. You know, he didn't participate in the combine. He had some character issues. But again, when you watch his tape, Bryan Edwards really stands out. And I think he's super talented. So, Tyler, I know you're an Edwards guy. Mm-hmm. You know, they're outside receivers. They've got Tyrell Williams, the gazelle, as I call him. I know you call him. That was it. Tyrell Wellick, I think.
Chris? Mr. Robot. Yeah, Mr. My God, Robot, my show is so stupid. Ugh. I find myself insufferable, guys, just so you know.
Well, the fun thing is I remember these things, so it's obviously sticks. It obviously sticks.
Yeah, I mean if Doug can remember who's like 48 years old and has early onset, I mean, Doug can, if he can remember that, that's well.
Doug's got that steel trap, though. He remembers all kinds of odd
stuff. I have a dumb memory sponge.
He has songs and movie quotes for me. That's all I've got. Anything else is just out the other door.
So talk to me about Bryan Edwards, Tyler, and him being a starting X receiver. Because right now it's Tyrell Williams. You can pencil him in. He's making big money. Ruggs, they draft him, you know, the first receiver off the board. So he's going to start somewhere. I thought he would be the other X receiver and Renfro would be in the slot. But if they shuffle this around, I actually think the best combination for them is Tyrell, Edwards, and Ruggs in the slot with Darren Waller at tight end. And that gives him a pretty nice pass catching core on paper, at least. Obviously, with two rookies, you know, possibly starting, we don't know what that looks like. But I think we both agree that they've got some talent there.
Yeah, that pass catching core would be very fast. I mean, Ruggs is fast. I think Edwards is probably in the 4-5 range. Edwards reminds me a lot of Allen Robinson, his rookie year, where Robinson had like 700 yards. He flashed. He had like, I want to say 7 touchdowns, maybe 6. But everybody was on Marquise Lee. He was the first receiver drafted before Allen Robinson. Everybody was on Marquise Lee. You know, that could be Ruggs. I think Ruggs is a way more talented player, and I still love Ruggs. But Bryan Edwards, I mean, his skill set is almost spot on to Allen Robinson, a guy that can run good routes, a guy that can win in contested catches, a guy that can still go deep and beat you. Like, he's got that speed and explosiveness. And his only issue was the ankle injury that he had. And that's the reason why he didn't go through the combine. So if that's all healed and he's good to go, why can't he come in week five, week six, and just take over from there? And if Carr saying he reminds him of Davante Adams, and that's a good sign. And Davante Adams, I mean, he wasn't what he was coming in from Fresno State, but I mean, that's a great comp to have if you're going to be comp to Davante Adams. And Davante Adams was pretty polished still coming out of college.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any thoughts on that, Tim?
Yeah, 100%. We have to remember that Mr. Edwards here is the guy that broke Alshon Jeffrey's, you know, reception record for South Carolina. He played 10 games his senior season, had 71 catches, 6 touchdowns in that 10-game span. This kid is the real deal. I think he comps to be a team's number one receiver. When I heard this news of Ruggs going to the slot, I thought maybe this was the team attempting to push their quarterback away from that, hey, let's just get 7 yards of play and move it down the field and try to force Derek Carr into maybe taking more of those shots. You put that speed guy in the slot. You know, obviously, like you said, the Hunter Renfrow truthers out there, you know, with the sad face, but Hunter Renfrow is not the speed guy. He's the, hey, I'm going to read the defense. I'm going to see if they're in zone. I'll find the opening. I'll sit down in the soft coverage, or I'll use my very quality routes to create separation. And he was kind of that safety blanket. Putting Ruggs in the slot, I feel, is going to push Derek Carr into hopefully pushing the ball down the field a little bit more. And they'll be able to use, you know, Williams on the one side and Edwards on the other. And hopefully this offense can get into some high-flying action.
Yeah, I think Derek Carr last year was definitely timid. But at the same point, like, they had a lot of injuries at their wide receiver group at the end of the season. You look at who was on that team and you're like, oof. Like, I can see why he was, you know, he was struggling. Why Darren Waller was just sapping up all the targets and getting 90 catches in his breakout season. Yeah. So, and speaking of tight ends, so Panthers coach Matt Rhule talked up Ian Thomas, saying it was Thomas's turn at the tight end position. Now, Tim and I have been Ian Thomas guys since the jump. Chris, I don't know how you have Ian Thomas ranked. He's one of my guys that you can take in the double digit rounds that could end up being a tight end one. Now, I know a lot of people say, well, there's a lot of mouths to feed in Carolina. I totally understand that. But I think his game lines up with what
Teddy... Because they're the Panthers?
Yes. I think his game lines up really well with what Teddy Bridgewater does on the field. And Ian Thomas, the man has hands the size of baseball gloves. I think he has like 12 or 13-inch hands, which is just an absolute crazy, crazy stat. So I want, Chris, I want to know your thoughts on Ian Thomas. And do you think he's a potential breakout tight end this year?
Sure. There's just a bunch of them. The problem is that there's a lot of unproven, young, freaky athletes who I can't really distinguish among. He wasn't one of the two that I picked to get inside my top 12 for redraft for this year. I picked Hawkinson and Fant.
Yes.
But,
okay. Oh, yeah.
But like, if you told me we get to the end of the year and it's
Jonnu Smith,
Ian Thomas, Jay Sternberger,
Chris Herndon.
Mike Gesicki, like there's a whole Chris Herndon, sure.
Dawson Knox?
Yeah. I don't think he's as freaky athletically. I don't think Knox is quite the speed jumping sort of freak that those other guys are, but could still break out because tight end is awful, obviously. But but Ian Thomas, I would never give the too many mouths to feed argument. Like, It's fine. Right. He has a pretty specific thing that he's going to do. It's a bunch of seam stuff, and Bridgewater will probably use this. Like, I can't tell you on a week-to-week basis because I can't tell you any but all but like four tight ends what they're going to do on a week-to-week basis. Like, there are going to be some every single tight end we just mentioned, all these young, exciting, freaky upside type tight ends. Every single one of them is going to have a 3-target game, and we're all going to be like, why do we have these people? Because it's just. That's not what the NFL
welcome
is.
Welcome to the tight end position outside of the top 4 or 5 guys.
That's right. Like that's not what the position really is anymore. It you know, the position, if you can't be a glorified wide receiver, then you're probably not playing. And if you are a glorified wide receiver, congratulations. There's a lot of other wide receivers on your team, and there are going to be some weeks where the ball just doesn't find you. Like, we're very frustrated with all the wide receiver threes out there too. And, you know, the tight ends sort of basically are that. But I think it's still a good call on Thomas in that, you know, when coach is saying it's his turn, or for example, when they're saying Henry Ruggs is going to begin in the start in the slot, like, I don't exactly know how to even translate that. All that means to me is like the first play of the season, Henry Ruggs is going to be in the slot. Like, I don't know that
we told you.
Yeah. I don't know necessarily think that means. And that was the day it was determined that Henry Ruggs ran 80% of his routes in the slot, because that would be dumb. If the Raiders do that, it's stupid. And I don't think they're that stupid. So
I just, when you said that, I just heard it in Morgan Freeman's voice. Like, that was the day that Henry started in the day.
It also reminds me of like when a team comes on and be like, this game, Tevin Coleman is starting at running back. And then he gets that first carry and then he's out the door. Then he's not playing.
That's happened before. We've seen it happen.
The Matt Breida, I wrote about this in the Almanac thing that I do about how early in the year, before the season started, Kyle Shanahan talking up all the, like, we got four guys, but Breida's the one who stands out, who's been here the longest, who knows the system, who is probably chief among equals kind of thing. And then we got to like, and Breida had pretty much been the number one guy for a couple months. And then we got to the game where Breida wound up taking a back seat. He wasn't hurt. He just sort of took a back seat. Nobody really ever figured out why exactly. And they interview Shanahan in the locker room afterwards. And he goes, yeah, I don't know. I guess we just got away from him, as though he wasn't the guy who made the decision.
He didn't.
Gee, right. That is weird. You reporters are right. That's odd.
I just forgot about the guy. I don't know if you knew this, Chris, but you're on the podcast with Tim, who might be the OG Matt Breida truther. He was on Breida early in his college career.
Year of Georgia Southern. I saw this small school kid and I was like, man, I think he's got the juice to play in the big league. So
Well, he's the fastest man recorded on the field next to Tyreek Hill and Will Fuller. Yeah. I think was the other one,
and Devin McCourty, I believe. Patriots fans.
I don't think that's true. I think that last one was not the truth.
No. He's a Patriots fan. That
pick six he had in Buffalo, I think he hit like 21 something miles an hour. Just saying. So, fun fact. This is my stupid sponge brain.
The wind was with him and it was like pushing him.
Right. Well, all the Bills fans were booing and it propelled him even faster to the end zone. That's exactly what happened. Oh, that was fun. So, support for Dynasty Happy Hour this week is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. I love that rhyme. They obsess over their technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. It says manscaping accident. Is Tim, Tyler, is there something I don't know?
No, there's no accident, but man, I was going to say the things that you get with a perfect package, the deodorant is now a mainstay at my house. And I use it every day. So that's almost worth everything that you get in the box. And the Lawnmower 3.0, I mean, that thing cuts through.
The Lawnmower 3.0. Yes. Everyone has them in Wakanda. The Lawnmower 3.0, I would tell you, I was surprisingly quiet when I used it. I actually used it to shave my chest over the weekend. Fun fact. It was the first time I used it. And I was like, wow, this thing is really quiet. And the battery life was good. And I know Chris, we had Liz on the show a couple weeks ago. And her mind was blown that this thing came with a LED light as like a headlight. Actually came in handy, not going to lie. She's like, wait a minute, it has a light on it? And I was like,
yeah. In case you're out camping and you don't want to go next to the fire, you don't want to get real close.
You can scare off a bear.
That would be real terrible.
Yeah, you can scare off a bear with it, possibly. Yeah. So Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. They spent 18 months perfecting the greatest trimmer ever created, and they just released a new and improved Lawnmower 3.0. The third generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce manscaping accidents. It actually looks plastic, but it is ceramic. And I think that's what makes it really quiet too, is it doesn't have that metal, that things that are grinding together. 90 minute battery time, which is absolutely phenomenal. So you're not going to have to charge it after every use. It's water resistant, so you can bring it in the shower if you'd like. Does have that LED light. And they've upgraded it to a 7,000 RPM motor with, get this, I love this term, quiet stroke technology. Oh yeah. They're going for it. And let's not forget about the charging stand. So you can just plop it right on there. Super easy USB charging stand. If you're listening to me speak right now, I want you to experience it firsthand for yourself. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code DHH at manscaped.com. Trim that junk of yours. Your balls will thank you. All right. It is time for stats and stuff. Now, I believe, Tim, are you taking over this segment this week?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Now, Chris, you are going to be playing this, and we have a player A versus player B situation. Tim is going to give us some stats.
Tyler, it's all right here. I'll give you all three the read. If there's any questions, we can get to the
This is Tim's area. So if you step on Tim's ground when he's the boss, he gets real feisty. So I'll just back away.
I would just say, I mean, you're going to explain something I'm getting ready to explain, sir.
Tim, stop yelling. It's okay.
All right. So it is time for some stats and stuff. I will give you info on two mystery players. The rest of you, the three of you, will decide which player you would rather prefer. If you think you know who it is, you can guess these players after everyone has answered which player they like. I will then reveal at the end who these players are. So, player A. It does not give me positions for either player, but player A is 25 years old. In 2019, they had 5.8 receptions per game, 9.2 yards per target last season, one top 12 finish in their career. They have a current startup ADP of 30th overall. Player B is a 27-year-old football player who had 5.2 receptions per game last year with 8.5 yards per target and has had three top 12 finishes in the past 5 years with a startup ADP of 75. Tyler, I'll go to you first. Which player do you prefer? The 25-year-old with more receptions and more yards per game, but only one top 12 finish, or the 27-year-old with the lower numbers, but has three top 12 finishes in the past 5 years.
I mean, I'm going to go with the 25-year-old because, I mean, he has better stats and everything. The top 12 finish doesn't bother me as long as they have a little bit of consistency, which it seems like he might. Okay. And the fact that he's 30th overall in ADP, I know we're trying to stay away from that word with Chris here, but I would have to think that that means he's actually pretty good. And a 25-year-old, I mean, my guess would be Calvin Ridley.
Okay, Doug, you have a preference on the players?
I think I know who player B is.
Okay.
So I'm going to go with player A, because player B, if I'm correct, I think they're, I like player B if it's who I think it is, but I think that their dynasty outlook might not be as bright as player A, who I think I might know who both these players are, but I'll divert to Chris for his player A or B take.
Okay, so Chris.
I don't remember anything, any of the numbers. You threw like eight numbers at me at once. You think you guys are all right. Let's move on. I think it's probably fine. Just move on.
Okay. So Tyler, you guessed who for player A?
Calvin Ridley.
That is incorrect. Doug, you said you think you might know who both of them are.
So I think player A is Chris Godwin.
That is incorrect.
Okay. I mean, he only had one top 12 finish. I think Godwin had 80 top 10 finishes last year.
No. One top 12 finish, like at the end of the season. In a season, I believe, is what we're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. I believe it's a season.
I believe player B. Can I guess?
Go ahead.
I'm pretty confident player B is Keenan Allen.
That is incorrect as well. Before the script writers sent me the names, I did have player B. I will say I guess player B correctly. It is Jarvis Landry, player B. Okay. 7 years old, 5.2 receptions per game.
That makes sense.
8.5 yards per target with three top 12 finishes in the past 5 years.
Okay.
Player A, we went with a different position. We went with a running back for player A, Austin Eckler.
Oh, you tricky dick, Austin you.
Eckler, I love never, that.
Never would have guessed Austin Eckler there.
Give me Eckler all day. You guys are not I'm on not the Eckler train.
I would
Eckler is the poor man's Christian McCaffrey.
3 years from now, I can tell you that Jarvis Landry 100% should still be in the league. Austin Eckler, probably.
I'm gonna record you saying this, and I'm going to send it to Eckler's Twitter, which we've all seen is.
Don't do that. Don't ever do that.
I would never, and you guys know that. But
I know you wouldn't.
I'm not trying to wish any ill will towards the gentleman, just that running back position it takes a toll on these guys. These guys' career, you know, average length, especially at the running back position, is not very long.
Mm-hmm. You know, Chris, what's your take on Austin Ekeler in Dynasty? Do you think, you know, he had the one big year last year? We don't know his, I mean, no Phillip Rivers. They draft right. Josh Kelly. We don't know what Ekeler is going to be, you know.
Right.
How are you forecasting Ekeler this year, at least?
And I certainly am much more interested in him this year than I am for Dynasty.
Sure. And I'm the same way.
Right. Like I have him probably in a standard league RB11 this year in PPR, probably like maybe 9 or 8, something like that. Yeah. Like I'm holding my nose saying it. I did like an all acid reflux team on my show, and he was the number one player on it. It feels gross because I mean, I'm old enough to remember Darren Sproles. You know, I'm old enough to remember when Darren Sproles had redefined the running back, what a useful fantasy running back looked like. And then Pierre Thomas and Mark Ingram became a thing, and Darren Sproles, you know, had 50 carries the next year. That's probably not going to happen to Ekeler this year, but here's my worry. Who carries it between the tackles on that team?
Yes.
Like, is it Josh Kelly? He never really did it. Like, but Jackson is basically Eckler's size and like kind of a worse version of him. Like, I don't know.
He seems Kelly or Devonta Freeman or Lamar Miller.
That's a great point. Like, maybe they don't have the guy there yet. It's very
or popular. Darius Geis.
Ugh,
I know. I mean, Guy.
But yeah, skills wise, like, you're right.
Sure.
You're totally right about that. I mean, so for the purposes of, I think one thing that you guys haven't said, which I am grateful for not to have to listen to, is they paid him all that money. And, you know, my thing is, well, they clearly like him and they want to keep him around, but that doesn't mean they plan on 300 touches for him. Like, they paid him all that money. They don't have to pay the quarterback any money for a couple of years.
Yeah.
So, like, they have this flexibility to hang on to a player they like. And as a 200 touch player last year, he had 1400 yards from scrimmage and double digit touchdowns. Like, it's, there's a world where that's exactly continues to be what his role is. And they piece together kind of everything else. That's almost better than saying Austin Ekeler, who's, I don't care what his Instagram feed looks like, he's not a power back. He gets pushed backwards. He shouldn't be running a lot of inside trap stuff. You know, he's not really, they don't do that with Christian McCaffrey, and they shouldn't do it with Austin Ekeler. Like, it's better for, I think better for the Ekeler owner to keep a role similar to last year, as opposed to cool. He's like consolidating what Melvin Gordon used to do. I think it's hard to predict injury, but I just don't know that he'd be effective doing that. I don't know. What do you guys think about that?
That's square peg, round hole. I think if you try to put Ekeler into that Melvin Gordon role, I think you hit the nail on the head by saying what he does extremely well. He does it very efficiently. And that is the upside of Austin Ekeler. If they continue to use him in the way they have over the past two seasons, then Austin Ekeler should maintain his value, at least for the season. I just have concerns, you know, with his size. I get it, you know, with all the Instagram posts, he looks all rocked up and everything. But let's be honest. Compared to the rest of the men that play in the NFL, he's not a large man.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Can I ask you guys' opinion something about that? Because I make a lot of hay about tiny bones, about how running backs who have tiny bones, you know, just I'm not that interested in the little guys who get treated like they're
the Danny Woodheads and.
Right, exactly right. And frankly, McCaffrey. And so far, I've been terribly wrong on McCaffrey. Maybe he's Barry Sanders.
He might be the exception to the rule,
That even proves the rule. But let me. So there are a lot of people who then hit me back on Twitter or wherever, and they'll say, sorry, there's been research done that says size to a running... The running back size is not correlated statistically with injury. Big guys get hurt, little guys get hurt, everybody gets hurt at running back. And that may be true, but my response to that, and this is what I was wondering if you guys could react to, since you have a dynasty, you're really thinking about now and the future, you know, specifically on this show, which is great. It seems to me that, that the fact that there isn't a statistical correlation doesn't imply that littler running backs wouldn't get hurt more if they were used like the bigger running backs, which most of them aren't. Matt Breida has been a little bit. Philip Lindsay definitely has. McCaffrey clearly has. But there aren't that many. Whereas, so these littler guys who aren't getting hurt, they're not getting hurt because they're not running between the tackles. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Right.
I would say another one that I actually do like is Devin Singletary, who's a smaller guy. He's about 5'7". And I know he had the injury before the season, but in season after he recovered from that, he looked really well between the tackles. But he's also like a thick 5'7". You know right. what I mean? If you were going to go by weight adjusted size, he would, if he was 5'10", he'd be 220. So
right.
I think if it's going with that, you kind of have to adjust the weight to his size. Like say if
a Michael Turner or a Maurice Jones-Drew, yeah. like these short, thick, like Kadri Olofsson reminds me of those guys. Random name to bring up, but on the Falcons, Kadri Olofsson is that short, stocky, bowling ball esque type of player, Maurice and I think Jones those Drew. Guys don't.
Yeah, Maurice Jones-Drew.
Josh Jacobs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody had issues with Josh Jacobs coming in because he's only what 5'9", and he
220
quite well.
Like truck.
Yeah. I mean, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is 5'7". Clyde Edwards-Helaire is very short, but he's also a thicker back, and I think
Benjamin.
Yeah, if yeah. you're thick in the lower part of the body, I think you can withstand the hits. And I mean, if you've got those tiny like Darrington Evans, who isn't a thicker back that I do like, I think he's going to be kind of stuck in that pass catching back role, where if he's going between the tackles, he could get snapped in half.
I think Chris brought a good point up there that a lot of these smaller backs, these scat back types, get used on the swing routes, get used in the passing game more. They get used.
So they don't take contact.
Yeah, on the sweeps. And if they are taking contact, it's by the secondary. You got some big hitters, you know, at the safety position and a couple corners occasionally remember how to tackle. But if you're that guy that's running it between the tackles, you're feeling those linebackers, you're feeling those 300-pound defensive linemen wrap you up, drive you to the ground.
That's where it comes in, is the defensive tackles nowadays are like 350.
Yeah.
But the difference is linebackers are about 220 now. They're not the 250 bulking. They're also running very fast. So, and
you get that D tackle around your ankles, you know, standing you up, and you got this 230-pound linebacker running a 4.5 directly into your chest. Whew.
Yeah. I mean, the bottom line is, like, I sidetracked the Eckler conversation into something bigger, because I have to admit, it's a bias that I have that says I want to see how the Chargers use him this year. But if they are planning on giving him 275 to 300 touches, I think I'm less interested in him for Dynasty.
Yeah, yeah. I'm all about it for pass catching. And if he's your RB2, he's going to have a very safe floor. That's the reason why I like him, because of his pass catching ability and the targets I think he's going to constantly get season to season. And if he only carries the ball 100 to 150 times but gets 90 targets, I love that. I absolutely love that. And I think he will last.
Yeah, that's the real question. That's the real question. Like, do the Chargers play it McCaffrey-like and just say, kid, it's the world's your oyster, yeah. you know, go do it. Like, that's going to be awesome for this year, and people are going to love him. And I think I'm going to feel for Dynasty, I think I'm going to feel the opposite.
Yeah. And it's interesting too, you know, they draft a guy like Josh Kelly, who's like good at a lot of things, but not like special in any way. Whereas like the Panthers, like, it's just McCaffrey. They have not addressed like even a backup. They're just like, you know what? We're rolling Christian out there. He never gets hurt. He does his thing. He's perfect. Godspeed. Where, you know, the Chargers are like, yeah, okay, of course they paid Eckler, but they're like, you know what? Maybe we should bring in this kid who's got some talent that can take some of that pressure off, or maybe be our two down guy. So for me, Eckler, you know, I write an article every year called Imploders, guys that don't live up to their ADP. And I have Eckler as one of my imploders this year, because I just see, like, I don't know, there's something about the absence of Phillip Rivers. There's something about, again, his size and stature. I think he's a great player when he's on the field. It's not about the player itself. It's about the ADP and being able to pay that off. So I'm skeptical on Eckler, definitely this year, and especially in Dynasty, because, again, I try not to invest in guys, like you said, that are that scat backy role. They have their roles on your Dynasty teams, but if you're relying on him to be a RB1 or a high-end RB2, like, no.
Yeah, if he's your only RB
over the summer, so.
Yeah, if he's your only RB, you need to find somebody else to put in front of him that is that stud running back.
Absolutely. So let's get into our next segment. We're going to talk a little bit of overhyped, underhyped, or, you know what, just plain Jane, properly hyped. So there's lots of talk around hype these days. It is the summer. Chris, you know it just like anybody else. You know, this summer we don't have as many training camp videos of Terrell Pryor's one-handed catch where his ADP goes up 30 spots, unfortunately. But, you know, the hype behind Clyde Edwards-Helaire, obviously from the Damian Williams opting out of the season, Just from last week, you know, CEH has been ballooned in redraft, especially, and even in Dynasty, where he was already getting pretty high stock. So let's talk some divisive players and which are too hyped or not hyped enough, or the porridge is just right. So the first one I want to go over is the QB position. He's QB8 in startups ahead of Joe Burrow, Baker Mayfield, Tua Tagovailoa. This time last year, he was QB18. So he's jumped up 10 spots in a year. It's Josh Allen. So obviously they bring in Stephon Diggs. You know, they have John Brown, who I know, Chris, you're a big fan of. I am too. You know, we have Dawson Knox, who Tim and I like. They still have Cole Beasley, who was a contributor last year. Running back position, they've got Singletary. They draft Moss. So it seems like Josh Allen is set up with tools around him. So, Chris, do you think Josh Allen is over, under, or properly hyped, and why?
I think they'll probably say maybe slightly over, but maybe, you know, maybe not so much for this year, but from a dynasty perspective. Because as long as he's out there, just the running part covers up for so much other bad stuff that he's done through 2 years. You know, he just is a kind of a mess as a thrower. Mechanically, they haven't so far through 2 years been able to really get his feet under control to get him to see the field. It's sort of legendary that, you know, he's as a thrower, he's not that good yet and may never be. You know, he's maybe headed toward Bortles land. So for this year, I'm comfortable with him as a top 10 quarterback, even though it makes me, you know, it highlights the massive difference between evaluation for NFL and evaluation for fantasy, because only reason we're considering him top 10 for fantasy is because of the running. But I guess the reason I'd say slightly overhyped for dynasty is that there's a plug that could be pulled here. There's a Trubisky Bortles axis around which the Bills just may decide, listen, we set up everything else and they really have. It's a very good roster.
Yeah. I mean, and if he craters again in the playoffs, like he did against Houston, it could be ugly.
So if he craters, or I mean, if he makes the playoffs, it's probably fine. But if he, you know, the year after Bortles goes to the AFC Championship game and should win it, you know, he wins six games and is just ungodly terrible and is then doesn't have a starting job anymore. And that could
and now
be
he's
Josh
out of
Allen.
The league.
Well, he's is he not with the Rams anymore? I've lost track.
I don't think he's backing up Goff anymore. I think he's a free agent.
So either way, I'll say for Dynasty, maybe a little bit over, because it feels like that price wouldn't bake in the possibility that doesn't matter that he has the running cheat code, like he just won't play anymore.
Right. So, Tim, are you overhyped, underhyped, or properly hyped on Josh Allen?
I think I'm right there with Chris. It's close, but I think it's just a little bit of an overhype there. I know his completion percentage went up a little bit. His touchdown interception ratio went in the right direction for both of those. But I do agree with Chris that the footwork is an issue. I'll take the shot again. I don't think it's as bad as Dwayne Haskins. I think mechanically Dwayne Haskins is still worse.
I hate Dwayne Haskins.
but yeah, Josh Allen with his mechanics and his accuracy, that's definitely a concern for the long run. You brought up guys like Burrow, Tua, and Baker Mayfield. Baker as a rookie really, really flashed. I think the Browns are trying to do the right thing, get a linebacker in front of him. I think he's a guy that, you know, coming off his rookie season, there was a lot of expectation. The line didn't do him any favors last year. I think we can see a resurgence for Baker Mayfield. You know, I'd like to think that Burrow and Tua are both going to come in. I have some thoughts that Tua probably won't be till later on in the season, but I believe that both of those rookie quarterbacks can come in and find success in this league as well. And once Josh Allen begins to age, like Chris said, if that running cheat code ever starts to dwindle, I don't think he or teams are going to want to rely on his accuracy and his arm as a pocket passer to win them games. So I think that it's close for right now, but it's slightly overhyped. And Doug, talking about preseason darlings, remember the Amir Abdullah? You know, he shook that jet safety.
Oh, my
and
God.
He went
third round on one run.
It was Darrell Revis, right? He made Darrell Revis look bad.
I believe so. Yeah. He shook Darrell and then took off, and that you just every yard he gained, you saw his ADP just
went into
climb
the,
with
he
him.
Was in the third round after that. It was absolutely
I took him at 106 in a rookie draft slightly after that happened. Yeah. Hey, he could still be in my dynasty team if I had special team points, because he's a great special teamer from Minnesota.
For the Vikings, Tyler, what do you think on Josh Allen here?
I think he's properly hyped. I am pretty fair on Josh Allen. I like him. I like the youth. I like his size. And I think he's a perfect fit for Buffalo in that offense. If he grows just a little bit, I think he could be up there with the other guys. But I think people are so skeptical about his accuracy downfield, and that's the issue. Maybe Stephon Diggs covers that up with his speed, but man, just, I don't know. His accuracy's always been an issue since college, but his arm talent just dazzles me. I mean, I'm a you got a big arm, I'm watching you.
Do you know what would be the perfect tweet in the offseason would have been? Josh Allen is working with Tom House, the mechanics guy that Brady. I would have been laughing because then everyone would have been like, "Oh, Josh Allen's going to get it right. He's working with Tom House.
Yeah.
Oh my God!" And everyone would have lost their freaking mind, and I would have just died laughing.
He worked with Jordan Palmer, and that he's been like the quarterback whisperer. Him and Darnold have worked.
Palmer is most known for?
No.
He invented the Run P app. So if you're at the movies in the theater, you can select it when the movie starts, and you select the movie, and it'll buzz when it's the right time to go to the bathroom. Jordan Palmer invented that.
Huh. That is awesome.
Randomness. Well, spongy brain.
Yeah. Just that's Doug's mind. I mean, he can't remember his own name, but he remembers that.
I just remember I'm the past tense of Dig. That's all I need to know. I think Josh Allen is slightly overhyped. Here's the thing with Josh Allen. So what if they drafted Zach Moss? What if Buffalo says, you know what, let's not throw our potential quarterback, our franchise quarterback, to the wind and get his ass beat all the time? So they use Zach Moss to take some of that pressure off, and they bring in Stephon Diggs to take some of that pressure off too. So for me, Josh Allen is just slightly overhyped. So that's where I'm at with him. So our next player is a running back. This guy here, running back 7 right now. He's in the first round in startups. As recently as January, he was the RB12, and he was a late third round pick. So I think this is one of the more hypiest players in Dynasty, and he's starting to creep up there in redraft as well. It's Miles Sanders. So I'm going to go to you first on this one, Tyler. I personally love Miles Sanders. I didn't think he would be a first round in startup guy, but here we are.
Oh, you're not the only one. I like Miles Sanders a lot. I have him in a lot of places. Unfortunately, I trade him to you in a league, in one of my home leagues that Doug snuck in. You know, it's a home league with all my friends, and here comes Doug with "Oh God, that's the Undertaker's music" style walk in, and just starts destroying this team and building it up. And now he's got this powerhouse, just taking advantage of it. No, I'm kidding.
Hey, you offered me the trade. Remember?
I did. But no, Miles Sanders has every reason to have this hype. I mean, they may have lost one of the best guards, but they brought back Peters to play guard. And I think with his age, he's going to fit perfectly at guard. I mean, they're going to bring back that rookie from last year that didn't play so hot, but hopefully another year of seasoning will help him.
Is it Dillard? I think it's Dillard.
Yes, Dillard, who they pretty much took from the Texans, which was awesome. But, I mean, Sanders has the pass-catching ability. His pass pro has been way better since he was not good at it at the beginning of the year. And his decision-making, like we talked about earlier in the podcast, is night and day. Like, you look at the end of the year, he was just see hole, hit hole, and then use my athletic ability to beat the rest of everybody in the secondary. I mean, he backed up Saquon, and I mean, he's not Saquon, but he was a 5-star guy going into Penn State. He was a very well-known recruit. He's got the talent, and he showed it at the end of last year. And I mean, people are wondering why he's in the top 10, top 12. Well, he proved it. I mean, Jason Moore on the Footballers, I'd say last week, even gave off these stats saying, look at this. Like, he proved it at the end of the year. He is a number one running back. So what else does he have to prove? I mean, he showed you already. What else do you need to see?
Yeah, I mean, and I think
it's a point for me to offer a dissenting opinion, so I don't agree.
Yeah.
I don't agree that he showed he was a number one running back last year. I don't really care what a number says. All I remember is the moment he had to tap out of a game and Boston Scott came in and got the Eagles a playoff berth. What are we talking about? Like,
I do.
That's
like
not
Boston
actually
Scott.
What. that's not what happened on the field. I'm not saying Miles Sanders doesn't have tons and tons of talent. I actually don't disagree with almost anything that just got said about what kind of ability he has athletically. But the problem actually is that I didn't think he saw a hole hit hole even towards the end of the year. He had one good game with a couple of long runs that look okay on film in the box score. And then on film, you're like, I think almost anybody could have done that. I'm never going to say that what somebody shows year one on the field, especially at running back, means that's what they are forever and ever. It's not true. They can absolutely get better, especially somebody who has the size speed combination that Miles Sanders does. If he's exactly the guy we saw last year forever, I think we're going to be really disappointed with Miles Sanders. I think he's Tevin Coleman. Weren't we hearing the exact same things about Tevin Coleman as recently as last year when he signed with the 49ers and everybody said, oh, he's so big and fast and he catches it all. Oh my God, he's going to be so amazing. It's Shannon system. Oh my God. Nobody likes Tevin Coleman anymore. And the problem is I've said this a few times. I had a tweeter during one of the Monday Night Football games late in the year last year who said Miles Sanders is elite in lots of ways, including in elite blindness, because he didn't seem to see it all that well. However, guys get better, and I it's probably a little too rich for my blood, so I'll say overhyped, but I'm also not sitting here telling you and I'm positive he's bad. But I like him more than David Montgomery. You know, I like him more than the other guy, rookie last year, who people are now trying to convince me is somehow a great option because the depth
all
chart
the touches,
looks
Chris, friendly. All the touches.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of the Miles Sanders argument too, though, isn't it? Like, isn't part of why his ADP is going crazy is because they go, well, who else is there? Boston Scott, blah, 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 Corey Clement. I don't care. Like, it's going to be all Miles Sanders. It's so juicy. And my theory to that, you know, my response to that is always Alex Collins. My response is always if you can't play, if you do wrong stuff on the field, there's always someone else at running back.
So,
go ahead. Sorry.
The only way I'd be happy if Miles Sanders fell into his face is if Corey Clement came back just dominated. No. I am the biggest Corey Clement fan.
When he scored a touchdown in the Super Bowl, I thought Tyler's head was going to explode.
It did.
I mean, head was exploding because I'm a Patriots fan like Chris.
I am
so
too.
Mine was exploding for the other reason. Are you kidding me? Yes.
Yeah. I mean, let's not forget the fact that he looked very good when he was healthy. So
Let's not do this.
Maybe deep stash, if you have like 48 roster spots on your dynasty team.
The deepest of leagues.
Like Boston Scott is also kind of an interesting stash because in the end,
that I agree with.
We all sort of think Miles Sanders has been anointed until they signed Devontae Freeman or someone else, right? Like, but for now, it's like, well, who else is there? You know, these little scat backs. I'm not so worried about them. But I'm telling you, if a running back proves that they can't play, if running back fumbles a bunch, which Sanders didn't do last year, but certainly had problems in college, and or if they just continually hit the wrong hole and of course they're going to pump him up now and say we think he can do it and maybe he can do it, but if he doesn't, it might be interesting for free to own some of those other guys.
So it sounds like Chris has him overhyped. Tyler, you have him properly hyped. I have him slightly overhyped. I think the thing with Sanders is that people really buy in, they overly buy into the ceiling of a player, the potential ceiling. Like, they see this like massive potential, but they kind of don't
really
see
it. It's really high. Yeah. In this case, it is really high.
Sure. But they don't, part of it is like the risk that goes with that. And for him to get in the back end of a first round startup, like that's a little pricey for me. So Tim, where do you stand on Miles Sanders? Are you over, under, or just right?
Well, my head was also exploding when Corey Clement caught that touchdown, but that's because I'm an Eagles fan and I was exploding out of joy. So
all four of us.
Yeah. Mine was because I love
the player's biggest fan and Eagles fan and the Pats.
What a tilting play.
To respectively go back at Chris here, he mentioned about him being Tevin Coleman. Tevin Coleman has never caught over 32 passes in a season. Miles Sanders caught 50 as a rookie. Again, what you see as a rookie is not the end all be all, but he's shown the ability to catch 50 passes a season. If he, you know, from week 1 to week 16 stays healthy, can maintain that lead role, he could see something along the lines of 65, 70 catches just in PPR scoring. That's a very big thing too. And if you look at his splits from last year, I mean, he had that one huge game against Buffalo. He had like three carries for like 100 plus yards or something. He had three massive runs against the Bills.
Nick Chubb game is what we call that. Three carries for over 100 yards. Yeah.
I mean, so that kind of threw his mid-season, his second quarter of the season, rushing averages up a little bit, but you see his yards per carry climb throughout the season. So even if he maybe wasn't making correct reads, he was making smarter decisions out there on the field. So if this time with these Zoom calls and film, you know, things like that, if he can just hopefully continue to grow in the areas he needs to, I do agree that he's slightly overhyped. If I could get him in the beginning of the second, middle of the second, I'd feel a lot better than that. Cause I do think the late first, you're paying for that upside. You're paying so full price for what he could be.
Yeah.
That's actually a good question for when I brought up Nick Chubb. Who would you guys rather have in Dynasty, Nick Chubb or Miles Sanders? Cause they're probably going around in the same area. Chubb.
I think Chubb's the more talented player.
Chubb's one of the best running backs, just pure running backs.
Oh yeah.
This guy is an absolute animal. His vision, his power, his ability to make guys miss. Elliott is one of the best pure runners. Chubb's right there.
I don't see Miles Sanders leading the NFL in rushing, and Chubb, I can see a guy like,
yes.
Yeah, if you told me like easily. Nick Chubb could lead the NFL in rushing, I'd be like, yep. Yeah, absolutely. I can see it.
The crazy thing that I just want to bring up Nick Chubb against, I think we all love Chubb. Let's not forget his horrific knee injury, and you still probably are never going to see what he could have been. Yeah. Like his knee injury was so bad that I still think he's about 80% of what his talent could have been if he never had that injury, which is insane.
That's insane.
And then we'll probably be talking Nick Chubb 101 for season upon season upon season.
Next year we might be. No Kareem Hunt, we might be. Let's see.
Love Nick Chubb.
So before we move on to our last player here, before it was a Nick Chubb game, it was an Isaiah Crowell game. Remember those big Isaiah Crowell? Like he's like, oh well, his yards per carry is 5.9. Or yeah, he had like 75-yard runs like 3 weeks in a row or something stupid. And I'm like, just skewed statistics.
Remember when he was a Raider? Remember when he was a Raider and people thought he was going to be the guy for a little bit with the Raiders?
Yeah, and then he got cut.
He got hurt. I think he tore his ACL. And then they let him go. So poor Isaiah. But that was my guy before Chubb, was those long runs. That just reminds me of Isaiah Crowell from a few years ago. So our last player, we'll go through this one a little bit quicker, so we're getting tight on time. This player was wide receiver 12 in startups, going very early third round as recently as January. Now, after this player was traded, he is wide receiver 21, and now he's going in the fifth round of startups. He's still only 26 years old, coming off 1,100-yard season that relied on a higher average depth of target. So it's Stephon Diggs. So do we think he can thrive with Josh Allen in Buffalo? I know Stephon Diggity is probably one of the most talented receivers in the league. He's my just the tip player. Like, I don't ever think we're going to see Stephon Diggs' potential in fantasy or as an NFL player, even though he's extremely talented. So for me, he's always frustrating to own because you're like, this kid is such a good route runner. The talent is there. He's nicked up. Like, I just want Stephon Diggs to be like, have an Antonio Brown type season. Because I think Antonio Brown's on another planet, but was, and probably still is, but mentally.
Mentally.
But Stephon Diggs from a capability and just his ability to run routes, the hands, everything. I just don't know that we're ever going to see Stephon Diggs as much as we want to. So Chris, I'm going to go to you on this one. Is he undervalued? Is he overvalued? Is he just right with his new digs in Buffalo?
I'd say undervalued, especially in Dynasty, because we're presuming that we know what Buffalo's situation is 2, 3, 4 years from now. Like, it could be a better version of Josh Allen that we're maybe not expecting, but would be happy to be surprised by, or it's someone else. And maybe it's where Aaron Rodgers winds up because that
Jake Fromm.
So give me the guy who's unbelievably talented in Dynasty League at a discount from what he would be if he were still with the Vikings. He's probably close to fairly rated, maybe even a little underrated for this year. But I think for Dynasty, people are overvaluing situation.
I agree with you 100%. Tim, what do you got on Stephon Diggs?
I'm with Chris. I think the guy's got an immense amount of talent. So let's pretend the DeAndre Hopkins trade never happened, and let's pretend that Stephon Diggs instead was the receiver that went to Arizona, and you pair him with a guy like Kyler Murray, who has really flashed his rookie season. I think Diggs' ADP probably rises. It probably goes the other direction.
Mm-hmm. Maybe Christian Kirk.
So, I mean, I get that we just kind of all talked about the issues with the quarterback's accuracy and his footwork and all that, those sort of things. But we also talked about how quickly a guy like Blake Bortles went from almost going to the Super Bowl to being a backup player in this league. Josh Allen, that team, the Bills, they could find themselves in a whole different scenario here in a couple of years. And you pair him with a top of the line quarterback. I'll say it like Allen Robinson. I would have loved to have seen what Allen Robinson could have done in his career had he been with a guy like Aaron Rodgers or Baker Mayfield or somebody like that.
He'd look like Jerry Rice.
Talking the goat.
So, Tyler, what do you got on
sandwich with Trubisky and Bortles?
So Tyler, you're a Minnesota fan. So what do you think about Diggs' outlook with the Bills and his hype value?
I haven't been on Diggs. I don't own him anywhere. I'm probably going to stay away because I'm with you, Doug. I just feel like there's always just that feeling that you wanted and thought there'd be
the
more.
The potential is there. Yeah. It just feels like it's never going to like hit.
Yeah, you just sit there and you're so like, cheap. Okay.
In Dynasty, isn't he?
I know.
He's cheap right now.
I mean, if he was my wide receiver three, like I'd be all about that life. Like that wouldn't be a problem at all.
In a startup dynasty draft, I'm not shocked if he goes like 26 among wide receivers because they've got, you know, now we might get these kids. Judy might go ahead of him. Like Ruggs might, who knows, right?
For sure. The rookie hype would definitely put some of those guys ahead of him. Yeah.
I mean, if that's the case, yeah, I'd be fine with Diggs, but like, it's almost like the Odell Beckham thing now. Like Odell Beckham, you sit there and you own him in Dynasty and you can't trade him for the value that you feel like you should get. But then you don't like him on your team because you sit there and you wonder, am I going to get a full season out of him or am I going to get that 8 games? And then you're kind of left with nothing.
Or you get a season with only 8 usable games and you're playing that, which week do I start him?
Yes. Yes. And it seems like that's kind of where Diggs is. And I do think Josh Allen can get better. Like I said, I do like Josh Allen. So maybe I should be on Diggs. Maybe I should be buying Diggs. And I mean, Chris really brought it up. Like if he's going that cheap, why not look to buy him for 2021 first? Because with the college season, probably not happening. Who knows what's going to happen?
In flux at best. Yeah.
Yeah. Who knows what's going to happen? I know that maybe a lot of these top prospects are going to stay in school. I know there's about 3 big-time wide receivers that decided to opt out to work for the NFL draft in 2021. So we kind of know they're going into the draft. But with other guys like quarterbacks, will Justin Fields stay in college if there isn't a 2021 season? Will Trevor Lawrence still play college in 2021 because they didn't get that last hurrah, that last season that they really wanted for college to kind of put their name on the Heisman and then come into the NFL. So that's kind of my issue. So yeah, maybe Diggs is worth a 2021 first. And I mean, you got a starting wide receiver three, like you said, Doug, if he's my wide receiver three or even two. Yeah, I'm perfectly fine with that.
And yeah, I think if they use John Brown as the deep guy, I mean, he's got a lot of speed too. So if they use Brown as the deep guy and Diggs with those clean, crisp routes, if he can work the intermediate stuff, I think Josh Allen can probably be a little more accurate towards that, intermediate side of the field. It's the deep ball that concerns me. So, yeah. I mean, they got guys that can do a little bit of everything between Brown and Diggs here. I'll be interested to see how they actually utilize these guys.
And just as a side note on Josh Allen, I don't know if you guys saw that video over the weekend of the guy proposing and the dude like chucked him the ring box and it went like 10 feet over his head into the water. And everyone was like, oh, Josh Allen, or, oh, Mitchell Trubisky. And I was like, oh man, this is gold.
That, That's rough. And I was going to make a comment earlier. Like if you hear something hit your roof, it's probably Josh Allen overthrowing Stephon Diggs at training camp.
Very well could be. So Tyler, why don't you get to our last segment here with Dynasty Trade Calculator about a player we talked a little bit about earlier.
Yes, this is a segment brought to you by Dynasty Trade Calculator. Chris, Dynasty Trade Calculator is just a tool that you can use for Dynasty. It kind of explains itself. It's a calculator. So if you are ended up doing a trade, you can put these players up and yeah, it helps you calculate, helps you kind of see if you're being an idiot with a trade or maybe you're getting more value than what you actually thought you are. So today's player is going to be Antonio Gibson. So what we're going to do is you guys are going to offer me a trade for Antonio Gibson. I have Antonio Gibson. You guys really want him. And then I'm going to accept one trade. And then I'm going to put it into the trade calculator to see where the value sits. So, Chris, you can offer me a 2021 picks. You can offer me any other rookies, any player you want. You can offer me for Antonio Gibson. He's sitting on my
standard,
roster.
Right?
Standard. It's going to be a 12-team PPR.
No super flex.
12-team PPR. No super flex. Not this week.
I'm going to say I will give you Joe Burrow for him.
Joe Burrow. Okay, that's not bad. Tim, do you got anything better than Joe Burrow for Antonio Gibson?
It's non-super flex. I'll give you a 2021 second.
2021 second. Mm-hmm. Doug, what do you got?
Well, Chris brought his name up earlier. I'll give you David Montgomery.
Wow. Okay.
That might be the
not
one.
A Montgomery.
I think I take the Montgomery trade.
This is tough because I am actually not a big Montgomery fan either. Neither, and I love Burrow. Burrow is like I said Burrow. In our process, his deep ball reminded me of just an angel grabbing it and just setting it into Jamar Chase's hands.
Angels in the outfield. angels on the football field.
Like there's so many deep balls where he threw it and it just landed perfectly right in the arms in stride.
I think Chris could play the Christopher Lloyd role. That would be great casting. Angels on the football field. Yeah, let's do this.
I'm gonna go Burrow just because I like the player. I believe in the talent. And even though it's one quarterback league, it's always nice to have a quarterback for 10 years and not have to worry about the position.
Yeah, if he's great. Yeah.
So I'm going to put it in the calculator.
Chris walked through his roster and knew that Tyler just was quarterback needy.
Yes. So Joe Burrow is an 8.8 in Dynasty Trade Calculator in this format. And Antonio Gibson is now a 9.5.
Wow.
So the trade is actually quite even.
Yeah. It's fair.
Now I
take the Burrow side personally.
Yeah.
I will actually put the Montgomery trade in to see where we are at with them. And now Montgomery's 14.9 for Montgomery. So he is worth more. And yeah, I mean, the trade for me was strictly just based off of my love for Burrow and how, even though it's a single quarterback league, like in a home league, it's a salary contract league. I just made a trade. I was very deep at receiver and I traded DK Metcalf for Kyler Murray. And I had trouble at quarterback. So I needed a quarterback really bad. It's a home league. Home leagues always, I feel, value quarterbacks way higher than they should. So, I mean, if you have a stud quarterback for years upon years, it's always nice. And Burrow could be that. But yeah, like you guys said, the Montgomery one is also fair. And I could see that getting done if you can add a second. So if you have Gibson and a second, I could see you trying to get Montgomery in that way. But yeah, that was a fun exercise. Chris, I think you nailed that trade. That was pretty close. That's probably the closest we've seen in this segment so far. So once again, if you want this help, go to dynastytradecalculator.com. Sign up for the calculator. It's a great tool to use. Don't use it as a Bible. Don't show people, hey, this is showing you should do this.
Use it as a guide.
Use it as a guide. And that's what it's there for.
And speaking of guides, remember, Manscaped has a guide for all your manscaping action. 20% off and free shipping with code DHH at manscaped.com. So that is going to wrap us up this week. Chris, the stage is yours. Tell us what you're going on. I know you have the Almanac, which is your labor of absolute love. So tell us a little bit about it. Tell us what you got going on. I believe you're 5 days a week now on the pod as well. So just word vomit all over what you got going on and where we can find it.
You sure. Nailed it. 5 days a week now. I just listen. I mean, I think if people like want looking for a daily podcast, you know, I've been doing it for a while now and people seem to like the show. Just go to harrisfootball.com.
Yes. Awesome. Let's not forget the Fantasy Underground was honestly the biggest thing that got me into Dynasty. Chris.
Oh, that's great.
You,
well, thanks.
It was like the first, because I was all redraft, and then I was told about this Fantasy Underground, and it's where you dug deep into these prospects, and I'm like, wow, this would be really fun to do like full time. And you brought up Dynasty a lot, so that is where I got into Dynasty and where I kind of reached more into the podcast world of Dynasty Nerds and DLF. But Fantasy Underground was the thing that really got my brain into this addiction. So if I have to thank anybody for my addiction, Chris, it's you.
You were his enabler.
On the next episode of My Strange Addiction.
all that really means is I'm old, but thank you.
Oh, we're all aging. And I just want to give a shout out in the chat. Sean Leeper says, Chris, my Yacht Possum shirt is fire. So
they are the best. They are great.
He's supporting the show. Thanks again for coming on. Make sure you check out harrisfootball.com. Check out Chris's podcast. And Redraft, the almanac is an awesome tool if you're looking for I think the thing that I like about it, Chris, is your personality comes through in your writing. And it makes it a lot of fun to read, where a lot of draft guides are just kind of dry and just kind of boring. I think your personality comes through and it makes it a joyful read. And it, man, you can just tell the amount of time and effort that you put into it. So thank you for doing that every single year. And I hope every year we see the almanac coming out. So if you're listening now, you're playing Redraft, make sure to go buy that, harrisfootball.com. It's pretty awesome. So thanks again, Chris, and we will see you next week on the Dynasty Happy Hour.
That's all the time we have for Dynasty Happy Hour. If you're looking for more fantasy football advice, be sure and follow the guys on Twitter. Doug at DaFantasyFather, Tim at DHH_Tim, Tyler at DHH_Tyler. Check out DynastyHappyHour.com for rankings, articles, ADP, shirts, and so much more. Need a question answered on the show? Hit the guys up on Twitter at DynastyHHPod, on the contact link on the site, or by email. DHH@DynastyHappyHour.com. Music is brought to you by the Fantasy Hitman, Mike Wright. We'll catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour.